Welcome to the Focus Church podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that it inspires you and gives you a fresh perspective. Enjoy the sermon.
Have you enjoyed the Missing Piece series so far? Awesome. I trust that it's helped you in your relationships. If you're single, I trust that it's helped you. Today, we're going to be focusing on marriage, so I figured I would help the single people out at the beginning of the message with some pickup lines, okay? We recently invested into some new lighting because the singles were asking, because every time someone raises their hand, they're trying to see if a person has a ring on or not, and so we've added some more lights so that you are able to find the person of your dreams in the worship service, you know. And I'll do you one better. Not only have I provided light so that you can see if someone's finger has a ring on it or not, I'm going to give you some pickup lines that you can use in church. Are you ready? We talk a lot about being spirit-led. Well, the spirit led me straight to you. Shanda. This is for the gentleman. I put the stud in Bible study. If you grew up in church, you went to Sunday school like I did with the flannel graph and the stories that were told in the basement of the church, you heard about Joshua who fought the battle of Jericho, and this is the pickup line. How many times do I have to walk around you to make you fall for me? Some guy's like, And then this is lastly, I'm usually not very prophetic, but I can see us together. I just see it. I sense the Lord. I sense the Spirit of the Lord telling me that we can be together. Those are for you. Those are free. I would like to define marriage today, asking the question, what is marriage? What is marriage? And here's the deal. With anything in this world, especially in this information age that we live in, we have to let the one who designed it define it. When it comes to biblical sexuality, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships, we have to let the one who designed it define it. Oh, I'm preaching already. I haven't even gotten to my verse in Matthew 19. If you have a copy of God's word, you can turn there. But I'm grateful to serve a God that actually defines me and designs me. So I'm not taking my cue from culture as to who I should be or how I should behave. But instead, I look to God, the maker of heaven and earth, who formed you and I together before we were even born in our mother's womb. He has the hairs on our head numbered. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. And he not only designed you, he defines you today. You are a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of the King today. And I just came to remind you to not let the world define you, but instead let the God who created you, let the God who designed you also define you today. I don't get my cue from culture. I don't get my cue from the enemy. I don't even get my cue from my past mistakes. I get my cue from who God says I am in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is speaking on divorce and on marriage. And it's always good to look at the words of Jesus. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 19. If you haven't, say amen. If you're just here to wait for it to be on the screen, say amen. Okay. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Let's pray. Father, I pray that if the enemy has tried to attack marriages, if our past has tried to creep in to our present and our future, if our own emotions and our own anxiety and our own anxious thoughts have made their way into being the primary priority as to how we see relationships and marriage, I declare freedom in Jesus' name. If there's a marriage on the brink of divorce, I pray that your spirit would bring them back in alignment with your desire, your design, and your definition, Father. I pray that no one would separate what God has joined together. We ask for your favor on our marriages. We ask for your favor on our families. We ask for your favor in whatever season we are in today. And all God's people said, amen. I'm not going to bore you or beat you down with statistics, but should you decide to be married, there is a 50-50 chance that your marriage will make it till death do you part. The statistics don't really decrease or increase, whether it's inside the church or outside the church. The United States has the third highest divorce rate in the world. Every year, between 600,000 and 700,000 couples file for divorce. And during the global crisis of 2020, that number almost doubled. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that God has defined it and designed it. And although the odds are against me, God is for me. And although the statistics say one thing, God's spirit can lead to another. I don't have to be defined by a statistic. I don't have to be defined by secular research. But instead, I allow God's design to be my way of life. Now, why do you think marriages have such high divorce rates in this country, both in culture and in the church? I think about the time when I had to get my driver's license at 15. I had to go to driver's ed at school. You remember this? Then I had to get a driving test at the office. I had to answer a certain number of questions. Then I had a driving instructor that drove around for, I think, 6 hours. We're in this season right now with our two oldest children, so if you don't pray in tongues, you will soon. Because not only is my oldest now driving with her learner's permit, soon to have her license next month, but my son, praise God, has just completed his driver's education and his driving instruction time. So now I just have to find an appointment at the DMV, which is almost impossible. So anybody running for office that wants to change the DMV process, I don't even get into politics that often, but I'll allow you to preach. Okay, just kidding. So if you have to take the test. As a matter of fact, when I did the test growing up at 15, I failed it twice and they wouldn't give me my license. I had to go back and get it the third time. I finally got it. But if you look at how hard it is to get a driver's license, yet how easy it is to get a marriage license. See, nowadays, all you have to do is show up at the courthouse, write a check for $86, and there, your license. No class, no written exam, no premarital counseling, no couples counseling, no conflict resolution, no Financial Peace University. You don't even have to prove that you have any clue what you are doing. All you have to do is show up to the courthouse. You can literally walk into a lifelong commitment with zero preparation. People spend more time planning for a one-day wedding than they do preparing for a lifelong marriage. How come it's harder for people to get a driver's license than it is for people to get a marriage license? I've met people who will spend $3,000 on a dress and some cake, but won't splurge $200 on a marriage counselor. Oh, that's just, counseling is expensive. You know what's more expensive than counseling? Thank you. See, Hebrews 13:4 says marriage should be honored by all. We should have a high view of marriage. It should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. What's that word honored mean? That word honored means valued with weight. Come on, somebody. When he goes to buy you that ring, you're going to want to know what the carat weight is of that diamond. Come on, somebody. When you look at that, you're going to have to make a split decision, a split second decision on whether or not you say yes or no based on how big that rock is. Why? Because we want to honor marriage. Honoring marriage isn't just the value of the ring. It's the value of the relationship. Because to be honest with you, My ring, we got married at the age of 19. Young people, close your ears. I'm not recommending this, just my testimony, okay? We got married at 19. We had been dating since we were 14, and we were broke, all right? If you're waiting to have money to get married, you're going to be waiting a long time. You're like, we're going to wait till we have some money. You ain't going to have money. I ain't got money now. 17 years later, we're going to wait to have money till we have kids. You ain't going to have money when you have kids. They're going to take all the money you got. Anyways, we had no money the week of the wedding, and we had no groom band. So I went to the highest class jewelry store known to man, Walmart. And this ring that you were looking at right here is stainless steel. It was $18. But if you offered me... Now, your girl's ring can't be $18, okay? But if you offered me $100,000 for this ring today, I wouldn't take it. If you offered me $1 million for this ring today, I wouldn't think even twice about it. $2 million, mate, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Everybody's got a price. Come on now. I'm just messing with you. Just messing. That's just a joke. Relax, okay? Because it's not its financial value that it represents. It's the honor in the relationship that gives it all its weight. So this is made out of the same material that your kitchen sink is made out of. But it's so meaningful to me because it's honored and valued with weight. It's something significant. Now, let me just define marriage for the sake of the year of our Lord 2024, just in case you don't know. Marriage at this house is a covenant between one man and one woman before God for life. This is what we find that God blesses. This is what we find that his best planned, and it's biblical marriage just as God and Jesus defined it. And here's what I know. Your marriage will only be as strong as your commitments. If you're weak in commitment, you'll be weak in covenant. If you're weak in your faithfulness, you'll be weak in your fellowship with your spouse, because you must know that your marriage will only be as strong as your commitment. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to outline 5 things that are usually missing in marriage. But if you could commit to these 5 things, it will help build a relationship that is strong and healthy. The first one is this: you must encounter God together. The missing piece of most marriages is that they don't encounter God together. They usually, anything that ends wrong usually starts wrong, and whatever ends wrong usually lacks a God encounter together. It's interesting because we're going to have to really try hard to cut through the awkwardness of encountering God with your spouse. It's important that you fight through that and you say, you know, we're going to pray together. We're going to read together. We're going to fast together. We're going to parent together. But ultimately, we are going to encounter God together. It says in Matthew 22:36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first. I love it because it's the first Sunday of the month, so we believe in first fruits. The first thing you should do is love the Lord your God. And the greatest commandment, verse 39, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. In the early days of marriage, a lot of people make their new spouse or their fiance their number one, but they are not meant to be priority in your life. God is always meant to be number one. And when you look at God as your primary source of strength, hope, life, and love, then you are able to, at a healthy place, make your spouse second in your life. I met so many young people, they're like, I'm just looking for the one. I'm looking for the one. I'm looking for the one. No, make Jesus your one, and I bet you the one will show up. You got to seek the one while you prepare for your two, for the person who comes second in your life. Idols always fail us, and eventually we end up demonizing people we once idolized. So if you make your spouse your idol, eventually they're going to do something that disappoints you. I don't know if you've had this encounter, but you were infatuated with someone that you were in love with. You didn't think anything about their life was wrong. And then one day they didn't brush their teeth. And what happens is this idealistic view of who you thought was perfect starts to crumble, and you realize that there are human parts of these people, and they aren't God. They actually have areas of their life that humanize them, and you should not idolize them. But when you put God at the center of every relationship, when you put him first, then you are able from a healthy place to honor your relationships. We do that by encountering God together. We have times of prayer and times of worship together. I love it when my wife is not assigned to lead worship at any other location. I'm selfish. I love it when I get to go to church with my wife. And what I've learned is that we don't just pray for your spouse, we pray with your spouse. Gentlemen, if you're the priest of your home, if you are leading a family, you need to take point and run point on this and cut through the awkwardness. You're like, I just don't know what to say. Trust me, I know. Ladies, have some grace for us. There's just not a lot happening up here. And you're like, well, he just don't pray. He don't have a lot of words up here. So gentlemen, let me help you. I don't either. So what I have to do is I just have to say, God, I pray blessing over my spouse today. I pray blessing over my children today. God, I pray that you would protect their minds, protect their ears, protect their eyes. Just work your way through a list of prayer requests. Do something. Praying something is better than not praying at all. It says in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If there's something broken in your relationship, there's prayer to see healing come through the presence of God. No, number one is encounter God together. Number two is you gotta learn the missing piece a lot of times is not fighting fairly. Some of you fight dirty, man. I seen the emojis you use. I seen how quickly you turn it on. Stomping around the house. You got to learn to fight well. Dr. John Gottman did a marriage. He's a marriage specialist. He did a research and he published a fascinating study about how couples fight. From 16 years of data, he claimed that he could observe a couple arguing for just 5 minutes and he could determine with 91% accuracy whether or not that couple was going to end up married or divorced. See, success in marriage isn't based on whether you fight, but how you fight. We fought over some really dumb things in the past. I've been locked out of the house before. She went to lunch one Sunday afternoon and locked the door. And I thought she was home, but we hadn't been talking. So I'm locked out of the house with no key. And it was my fault. It's always my fault. In case you're wondering, the whole series, it's always my fault. I was in my flesh. And a lot of times when you get in your flesh, you start to fight dirty instead of fight fairly. And when you fight dirty, you start doing name calling. You bring up past that has already been forgiven, that has already been, you brought that into this marriage and that's just what you did and that's how you used to be and that's how your dad did and it's your fault that this and that's. Listen, if you learn to fight fairly, you will learn to actually thrive even in disagreement, even in seasons of tension, because I have learned that healthy couples fight for resolution, but unhealthy couples fight for personal victory. If you're trying to win something up on your spouse, you're not fighting for the right reasons. There's really no winner if you're fighting for personal victory. You actually end up losing. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So what do? 3-step process. Are you ready? I'm gonna get real practical with you because I know you came to learn from God's word and you came to get better in your relationships. Number one, you gotta be quick to listen. What are they saying? We don't listen to respond, we listen to receive. Gentlemen, I know the moment you get triggered, you start drumming up your response while that she's still talking. But if you're thinking of your response while she's still talking, you're not listening to the whole point. You gotta be quick to listen. You have to be slow to speak. Let me help you. An acronym, WAIT, wait. Here's the question you need to ask. Ladies and gentlemen, why am I talking? So you just need to ask that in your everyday life on the phone for 4 hours. Why am I talking? Slow to speak. Why am I talking? And then number three, slow to anger. Am I denying my flesh? Am I denying my flesh? Here's the last observation for this one. You have to stop fighting against each other and start fighting for each other. I got enough battles in my life. I got enough things against me in my life that I don't need the one person who is designed for me forever to be in conflict with them. So instead of fighting against my wife, I protect my wife. Imagine if you put all the energy you spend in arguing, but instead you put that against the devil who's trying to separate you, the devil who's trying to confuse your children, the enemy who's coming against you. There are times when we fight and I look at my own introspective and I look at her and I say, this is not even us. We are fighting the wrong battle because we're fighting face to face, but we should be fighting. I should have her back. So when you stop fighting against each other and start fighting for each other, you're unstoppable. You're unstoppable. Unstoppable. Okay, the next one is this. I like this one a lot. Fun. Missing peace is fun. You're not committed to fun. You're boring. In so many ways. You're boring in your habits. You're boring in the bedroom. See, I know this. You never fall in love having a bad time. You're never like, I really love this person. They're just so boring. Doesn't happen. You fell in love. Why? Because you were having? Do you remember? It was like exciting. The phone would ring and be like, oh my gosh, Becky, he called me again. Now you're like, what do you want? What is the purpose of this phone call? Fun is foundational to a healthy relationship. The problem with most couples is they have all the fun before they're married and then no fun after they're married. You remember when you used to do crazy stuff like bring her flowers, clean your car? Crazy. I know. What foreign concepts, you know? What happens? Time goes on and those extravagant dates and those special moments, and you go from communicating your love to just sharing information about your schedule. Who's picking up the kids today? Are you paying the electric bill or am I paying the electric bill? Who's in charge of taking the kids to youth group tonight? When does he have basketball practice? That's not marriage. That's management. You should have some fun. You need to be the CFO, the chief fun officer of your relationship. I'm the CFO. I'm gonna have a lot of fun. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. Basically, what Solomon is saying here is, if life is gonna be meaningless, make it meaningful by having fun in your relationships. I've seen some of you know how to have fun, but others of you, I'm like, do they ever leave the recliner? You gotta have fun. You wonder why it's boring, because you haven't spiced it up in a long time. I'm getting close, and I know I am feeling it. Here's the 777 rule. Every 7 days, you should have a date night. Every 7 weeks, you should have a date day. Take some PTO, and instead of getting your oil changed, you know, or getting the dentist appointment, you know, say, hey, we're going to go out for the day. My wife and I, we have a good time. I love it when I speak and travel, she travels with me. It's the best because, you know, it's just the best. And we go into stores that we can't afford and we act like we can afford it. You ever do that? That's fun. You want to have fun? Walk into a Restoration Hardware. I can afford that couch. And then you look at the price tag. No, I can't. I mean, that is so expensive. What is that couch made of? Who made that couch? Like, is there an autograph on that couch that I am unaware of from some famous person? Did Jesus, like, sit on that couch? There's no reason I should have to take a second mortgage out for just a couch. But we have a good time. We go out all day. We have a good time. We eat good. We have a good time. And then every 7 months, you need a full trip. Just book it. Can I encourage you with something? your sneakers that are $300. Is equivalent to two nights almost in a decent hotel if you get a good deal. One night is better than no nights. You're misappropriating funds, therefore you're misappropriating fun. Because you are finding fulfillment in your sneaker game when you should be finding fulfillment in your marriage. I ain't helping nobody today. This is just a boring sermon. Get him off the stage, you know? Let me help you. Every good date night should include the following. Are you ready? Yeah. Babe, will you come up here for just a second? Just come up here for just a second. She loves it when I do this, by the way. She loves it when I do this. It's her birthday today. Give it up for her. 27 never looks so good. Every good date night should include face-to-face conversation. So I'm going to stand face-to-face.
We're not going to do the final one right now.
No, we're not going to do it. Okay. Don't get ahead of me.
Everybody in first service.
Okay, face-to-face. She's nervous that if as this progresses, it might get a little weird. We're not. It's not that kind of cult. Okay. So it should involve, how was your day? How was your week? It should involve face-to-face conversations, okay? Here's what I do, and I have to discipline myself, but I take this device, my phone, and I put it in the glove box, and I just leave it there, and I hope my kids survive. We survived when our parents didn't have cell phones. I'm sure an hour and a half is going to be just fine. All right, they'll find a way to get a hold of you if it's really that bad. So leave it there, and that forces us to be face-to-face. Then next, we'll have side-by-side adventures. Okay, we're going to walk through Restoration Hardware and say, wow, that couch is way too much money. Look at that fountain. Look at that. Imagine this. Look, let's go to coffee. And then lastly, the part that she was most nervous about is you will have belly button to belly button fun. And praise be to God. Okay. Give it up for the first lady. I love you so much. We're getting on an airplane this afternoon. We're going to go have some fun. Praise God. I told you this before, but it's always better at a hotel when there's numbers on the door. Okay? So I used to put numbers on our door of our master bedroom. I ain't lying. I went to Lowe's and I got some mailbox numbers and I screwed them to the door of our master bedroom, and people would come over and they'd say, why is there number on that door? I said, because it's always better when there's number on the door. Unless you're in jail. Okay. I love what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther said, let the wife make the husband glad to come home and let him make her sorry to see him leave. It's really good. Missing piece number four. And within marriage, there needs to also be an element of purity. Purity. According to a study done by the University of California, the adultery rate has more than doubled over the past decade. This makes sense because sexual temptation is now everywhere around us. And I remember, you know, it used to be harder to get in the information or access to all of the things that cause adultery or impure thoughts. But nowadays we are all just a few clicks away. And I want to make sure that I'm very clear. Married things are reserved for married people. That's God's design and desire. If you are outside of the guardrails of marriage and your temptation is strong and your curiosity is strong, you need to fight that temptation and not do everything that feels good to your body, but instead you actually say, my body is a living sacrifice before the Lord. I hear people all the time, well, we have to, you know, before we get married, we're going to live together to see if it works out. And they'll say the analogy like, well, you wouldn't buy a car and take it for a test without taking it for a test drive, would you? And you need to say this, of course not. I don't know if you've noticed this, but cars and people are not the same thing. Cars are not alive. People are alive. Cars don't have feelings or souls. Humans have hearts, feelings, souls, and spirits. Cars are not going to become emotionally attached to me, but people can have soul ties together. And by the way, you can ditch any car in the future when it gets too many miles on it. But you cannot do that to a person. You can't go in and trade in an old car for an old wife for a new wife. So it's a terrible analogy is what I'm saying. And it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Ephesians 5:3 says, but among you, let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's good to have boundaries, church. Parents, it's good to have boundaries for your kids' cell phone usage. It's good to have boundaries for your own cell phone usage. It's good to have boundaries. Boundaries don't stifle a marriage. They safeguard a marriage. I don't have this internet activity reported to my friends because it stifles me. It safeguards me. And whatever I do, I'm hopeful that you would do also as the head of this household. Healthy marriage boundaries, really quickly, just so you know exactly what I'm talking about. I like to lay it out as plain as I can. You're never alone in private with a person of the opposite sex. Sounds old school, preacher. Well, I serve an old God. He's been around for a long time, and his way has worked for a long time. And I live by an old standard that was found in an old book, and it's tend to work. And so I never am alone in private with a person of the opposite sex. I have healthy boundaries. I have accountability partners. I FaceTime with some of my accountability partners more often than anyone else in this world, and I'm just open and honest with them. And then full phone transparency, total phone transparency. Did you know that Facebook Messenger is mentioned in like 78% of divorce papers these days? Because what happens is people go looking for their old high school sweetheart to see if they're divorced or going through something in their marriage, and they rekindle a romance from their high school days, thinking that they could actually undo what God has already brought together. I'd be really careful and be very open with phone transparency. All right, are you with me? Encounter God together, fight fairly, have fun, stay pure, and lastly, never give up. Never give up. If Ashton leaves me, I'm going with her. We don't say the word divorce in our house. We don't allow it to be even an option. It's not an option. And when it's not an option, wouldn't you know it never comes up? If it's not an option, it's not an option. It's amazing to me. Holy Spirit, help me. It's amazing to me how loyal you will be to your children and how unfaithful you will be to your spouse. How is it that you'll do anything for your kids who will one day move out of the house and leave, but you won't sacrifice your life for the sake of the person who you are supposed to be with forever? We've got our priorities wrong, where our kids have become the idol and our marriages have just become the result. And I'm tired of seeing people worship their kids and not love their spouse. I'm gonna kick them out one day. Get out of my house. I've raised you enough. Jesus said it. You will leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife. We have an unhealthy worship of our children these days. And trust me, I love my kids. I'd do anything for my kids. But if anything for my kids came in between for me and my wife, they would actually get placed on the back burner. It's hard to say that. It's unpopular. But I'm not going to worship my children. I committed to her for life. I'm not committed to my children for life. Am I going to love them for? Of course I am. Am I going to leave them some money? Probably not. You got to decide I'm not going to give up. You got to decide I'm not going to use divorce. You got to decide we're not going to put the kids over. We got to decide I'm not going to over-prioritize any. I've decided today that I'm going to be married to this woman for the rest of my life. And I decided that 17 years ago, and I actually said it 22 years ago before we got married. I said that woman's going to be my wife. And my youth leader was like, you crazy. His name is Dan Gilmer. You could ask him. First thing I ever said about Ashton when she walked down the sanctuary of Suncoast Cathedral, Assemblies of God, a bunch of purple pews. I said, who's that? I'm going to marry that girl. First thing I ever said about her. And I'm committed to her until the day I die. You got to decide to stay pure. You got to decide to have fun. You got to decide to fight fair. And I do want to make mention really quickly, there are two biblical justifications for you to get out of a marriage. And those two things are adultery and abuse. You can't say I fell out of love. Not a biblical justification. Just if they're not the person that they used to be, not a biblical justification. Oh, it's boring. Not a biblical justification. I love you. I love you. Not a biblical justification. If you are in an unsafe environment, I would never ask you to stay in it 1 second longer. If you're in an abusive relationship, I would never ask you to stay in an unsafe or harmful environment. But how anything else, you got to fight for it. But if you are being injured or abused, if you are being manipulated, if there's been adultery or abuse, you need to get some help from our campus pastors. We would love to help you walk through as much as we can. This means that if those are the two reasons, all the other reasons have to be worked out. Let me say that one more time. If it's not adultery or abuse, every other excuse has to be worked through, has to be worked out. I love what Ruth Bell Graham says. She says, a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. Two good forgivers. If you got good forgiveness, men repent and the woman forgive. That's how it works. And it works beautiful. If you're not repentant, she can't forgive. Wife, if you're not forgiving, he won't keep repenting. It's a cycle. I saw an illustration as I was preparing for this message. They had a husband and a wife in the boat, and the husband had the repentance oar, and the wife had the forgiveness oar. And he said, if you both have each of these, then the boat can go somewhere. But if you don't, then it's just in circles. How do we do this? Well, 1 Peter 4, it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Today after church, I trust that you'll be able to have a distraction-free lunch and look over across the table to your spouse and say, I love you. I love you deeply. And whatever in our marriage or in our relationship is not right or in alignment with God's word, we will be willing to work through it. Because whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. So we're going to starve out division in Jesus' name. We're going to starve out anger in Jesus' name. We're going to starve out bitterness and bickering. We're going to starve out addictions that lead to a different alternative state. If you need to starve the alcohol if it makes you a different person when you drink. You need to starve the anger if you become angry with threats of violence towards your wife, towards your spouse. You need to starve whatever it is that you need to starve, and you need to feed the relationship how God designed it and desired it. I'd like to pray a blessing today over everyone. Next week, we're going to have an incredible new series with an altar call and prayer moments, but I just want to seal this series with protection from the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of God. So Father, right now at all of our locations, I pray protection. I pray your favor. I pray your blessing. I pray no weapon formed against these marriages shall prosper. They will be more than a conqueror because they are in Christ Jesus. We know that you designed marriage in the Garden of Eden, and you let it out of the Garden of Eden. After sin entered the world, you still let us hold on to something that is perfect, pure, holy, and designed by you since the beginning of time. I pray protection over every marriage, unity over every couple that is going through a tough time or a tough season. I pray for blended families that are going through a tough time. I pray that they would look to the future, not to their past. I pray that we would not be bogged down by the weight of our mistakes, but instead we would be lifted by your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We commit to loving our wives as Christ loved the church. We commit to loving our wives as Christ loved the church. Pray for our families, protection over our children. As they get into relationships, I pray that they would know that you've designed it and you can define it. And that the world doesn't have to define it. You can. Pray protection in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let's clap our hands at all of our locations for God's word.
Thanks again for joining us. And thank you to those who give generously to make this ministry possible. You can click the link in our description to give now or visit www.givetofocus.com. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, share it with your friends, and hey, while you're at it, take a screenshot and share it on your social stories. Tag us at My Focus Church. We'd love to hear how God is speaking to you.